from the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Today, a series within a series, the final installment in our Remnants of Early Manitoba series with Gordon Goldsberg. Gordon, remind us about what the thinking behind the series and what we're focusing on today.
Good morning, Nadja. Yeah, so for a number of episodes of this series, we've been talking about things that people could see here in Manitoba that remind us of life in 1870. And of course, the premise of all of this is that this is Manitoba's 150th birthday. And so we've talked about various other things, buildings, things that have connection to the fur trade and so on. Our focus this time is on places with an Indigenous connection.
So given the history and the connection to this land of Indigenous and First Nations people, there must be lots of places around Manitoba.
Indeed, there are. You know, so for example, I spent much of my life at Delta Marsh on the south shore of Lake Manitoba. Many people who lived and worked at Delta would walk along the beach and they would pick up numerous Indigenous artifacts, things like arrowheads, knife blades, spear points, hide scrapers. And these items had been left behind by generations of people who had used them to do things like collect birds and fish that were in the marsh there. They processed bison that they had killed on the nearby prairie. In fact, I was told by a visitor that the styles of arrowheads that were found at Delta were similar to ones that dated to 6,000 years ago. And it illustrates just how long people had been living and working in this area. You know, so if people want to see examples of these fine stone tools, there are collections that can be found at places like, well, the Manitoba Museum. But a lot of community museums also have fine collections, places like the museums in Boisevain and Melitta.
Are there other objects besides tools?
Well, of course, Indigenous people are keen observers of the natural world around them. So it stands to reason that there would be pictorial representations of what they saw. So in the Whiteshell Provincial Park, we find petroforms. Petroforms are small rocks that are positioned to form shapes, things like turtles and snakes and people. Unfortunately, these petroforms in the Whiteshell have been subject to vandalism. I've also heard that there are petroglyphs or pictographs, which are painted or carved drawings on stone that are also in southeastern Manitoba. I've not seen them, but I'm told that their locations are strictly guarded to protect them from damage.
Now, you have spoken about other Indigenous sites before on abandoned Manitoba. Can you remind us of some of the other sites you've spoken about?
Back in 2015, I talked about the Claybanks Buffalo Jump near Cartwright. At this site, on the banks of what is known today as Badger Creek, Indigenous people herded bison off a cliff. Archaeologists have found things like projectile points and bison bone fragments at this site. In early 2016, I talked about the Flea Island entrenchments north of Portage-la-Prairie. These are shallow trenches that were dug as campsite protections, and they're believed to have been dug in the 1860s by Dakota people who had come here from Minnesota. And by the way, if any listeners have missed these episodes, or in fact in any of the episodes in this series over 5 years, I remind them that audio files for the entire series of Abandoned Manitoba are on the website of the Manitoba Historical Society.
How about Indigenous burial sites?
You know, one of my absolute favorite sites to visit is Star Mound, south of Larivere. It's a huge mound that was pushed up during the last glaciation, so it stands above the surrounding landscape. And from the top of Star Mound, one gets an absolutely panoramic view of the countryside in all directions. And on top of that mound, there is actually a smaller mound where hundreds of years ago, Indigenous people buried their dead. I should also mention that there's also a very nice one-room schoolhouse that is maintained as a museum near the burial mound. So Star Mound, definitely worth a visit. Similar burial mounds, though, have been found in numerous other places around Manitoba. There are some near Melitta, there's some southwest of Darlingford, west of Brandon, and near Westburn. And, you know, these mounds go back hundreds or even thousands of years. But there are a couple of newer burial sites that I should mention. So at Arrow River, east of Mineota, there is a large upright stone that once marked the grave of an esteemed Dakota elder who died in the 1800s. The remains of that elder have subsequently been disinterred and moved to a cemetery in a nearby Dakota First Nation, but the monolith, it's believed to be the only use of this type of marker for an Indigenous grave in Manitoba, is still standing. I saw it a few years ago. And it has been designated as a provincial historic site as of 1962. I should also remind listeners about another grave that we discussed here back in late 2015, that of Betsy Ramsey. It's located southeast of Riverton. She died during a smallpox epidemic in 1876, along with four of her five children. Her grieving husband traveled to Lower Fort Garry to have an engraved stone made to mark her grave. And today, that stone is still there, surrounded by a nice white picket fence close to the shore of Lake Winnipeg.
Now, most of the items that you've described so far were made of stone. Are there any remnants made with other materials?
Well, I think so. So about 3 years ago, I visited an intriguing site southeast of Brandon that had been the location of something called Brandon House. It was a fur trade post that was established in 1828. It was abandoned just 4 years later in 1832. And then in 1928, for the 100th anniversary of the founding of Brandon House, the Brandon Rotary Club erected a stone cairn at the site, which is still standing there today. Well, while I was visiting it 3 years ago, I used my drone to take some aerial photos of the site. And when I looked at the photos I had taken, I was surprised that over the whole area, there are numerous large green circles around where the fur trade post had stood. So I walked over to some of these circles and I found they were circular tufts of a shrubby juniper. Juniper is sort of a low plant. In this case, it was a particular species that is characteristically sort of flat. And it suggested to me that these might have been the sites of Indigenous tents that are erected around the post. The idea being is that people who were living there might have used juniper branches as ground cover inside their tents. And some of those branches took root and flourished. And, you know, decades later, they're still there.
The items and places that you've mentioned are indicative of a hunter-gatherer lifestyle. Are there any artifacts that kind of challenge this view or provide an alternate lifestyle?
Well, you know, a few years ago, an amateur archaeologist was hiking along a creek in southwestern Manitoba, and he discovered the shoulder bone, what's called a scapula, of a bison. And this particular scapula had been modified to make a hoe, you know, a gardening implement. Now, this is an exciting find because it suggests that people in this area hundreds of years ago were farming in a more sedentary lifestyle. In other words, not a hunter-gatherer lifestyle. Well, previous archaeological evidence of Indigenous agriculture has been found near Lockport, but not in southwestern Manitoba. So that's the exciting part. For the last two summers, excavations at this new site have been carried out by archaeologists from Brandon University, and they think that farming occurred there for at least a couple of centuries, about 500 years ago. So really exciting new stuff, and it sort of challenges our traditional view of the Indigenous lifestyle.
Gordon, thank you so much for today. What's the clue for next week?
Well, you know, in the movies, what do they say when a ship is sinking and all hope of saving it is gone? Abandon ship! That's next week's topic.
You know, I was hoping and waiting for that enthusiasm, and you didn't disappoint.
You're welcome, Ladja.
Take care.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.